Okay, now we will cover the view that J.W. McGarvey, that lived in the Civil War days in the 1800s, and Kaufman took his view on this same passage of Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, and he just copy and pasted straight from McGarvey. And just said that he agreed with his view. But I will read again this passage, Matthew 11, verse 12, that Kaufman, as we covered in the last session, that had stated, and I stated also last week, that this is known as one of the difficult passages of the New Testament. But Jesus says, states here in Matthew 11, verse 12, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Okay. So now McGarvey gave five instances of such violence. And the first is, and now these are all what the computer would have, it would have gone under the positive view. All of these are Christians that are, well, they want to be Christians. They all want to be, these are all people that want to be members of God's kingdom. Of course, when Jesus said that, there were no Christians. It wasn't any Christians until Acts chapter 2, and then they weren't even named Christian until Acts chapter 11. But these are all truth seekers. But they want to modify God's plan and or enter God's kingdom before Acts 2, before God was ready to open the gates. So this the first group are, McGarvey said, some tried to make Jesus king by force, as John 6, verse 15 states, which states, "Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone." So this is another example. They were trying to take him by force and make him king. They wanted to make him an earthly king. And so Jesus departed, and he had to get completely away from them, even the apostles, and go to the mountain. And I did not look up the context, so I don't know if he is in Galilee up north, or if he's in Judea at was in Judea at this time. If he was in Judea, I'm going to say that this is definitely going to be the Mount of Olives, and very likely he probably went to the Garden of Gethsemane, because that was a favorite place for him to go and commune with God. And otherwise, if he was in Caesarea or somewhere up in Galilee, it would be some other mountain that he went to. But anyway, that's another example that the crowds were so zealous to hear God's message. But here in this particular instance, they even wanted to go and grab him and force him to be king, but a physical king, and take him by force. And Jesus wasn't going to be having anything to do with that. He told Pilate, Jesus told Pilate himself, that "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight." But they're not fighting because it's a spiritual kingdom. It's not an earthly kingdom. And Pilate did not question that. And so then he went out and told the crowd, "I don't find any fault in him." Okay, that's the first instance of five that McGarvey gives. The second one: the mother of James and John sought to obtain secular appointments for her sons in the kingdom, as Matthew 20, verse 20 and 21 states. "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And Jesus said to her, 'What do you wish?' And she said to him, 'Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left hand, in your kingdom.'" And of course, Jesus replied to her and said, "Woman, you don't even know what you're asking, because who's on my right and my left is not even for mine to give, but only God the Father can even make such a thing. And he said, but, you know, since you're asking this, they are going to suffer like I will suffer. So they're going to suffer as I suffered. So that they would both be martyred. And we know that James was the first apostle to be martyred. And then John was the last apostle to be martyred. So they were the bookends of the first to be killed, and then John being the last to be killed. So he told her that, well, they were going to get that part. It's not going to be the right and the left hand sitting on a throne. See, she had a false view, and the apostles did, that this was still going to be an earthly kingdom. They still had a false view, which that's one of these points in here. 10 days before Jesus was going to ascend for the final time to heaven, they still thought it was going to be an earthly kingdom. So it's just fundamental misunderstanding. But anyway, the third point, an instance of such violence that McGarvey came up with, is some suppose the kingdom would appear immediately, as Luke 19:11 states. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. And so, these were wanting God's kingdom to come before God was ready, before the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. They wanted it now. They did not want to wait. They wanted God's kingdom, which was good. That's what the computer called the positive view. But the negative aspect of that was they wanted it now. They wanted to jump ahead of the providence of God, very similarly to what Sarah and Abraham had done some nearly 2,000 years before this time, when God had promised an heir that through his lineage, the whole world would be blessed. And here she was, you know, coming up on 90 years old, and she hadn't had an heir, so they decided to circumvent the providence of God and have a child by a servant girl, and which was wrong. And anyway, that is another example of this, of jumping ahead of God's providence instead of us being patient as God is patient, and waiting on his providential timing. So that was where, that's the mistake that they made. And they were the violent ones trying to get into God's kingdom ahead of time. Okay, the fourth point. The apostles even quarreled over who would be the greatest. In Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 30, it says, "Now there was also a dispute amongst the apostles as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And so Jesus said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, over their subjects, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors, but not so among you.'" It's not going to be that way in God's kingdom. "On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs, let him be as the one who serves. For he who is greater, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one that sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves." So he was telling them, in God's kingdom, he was giving them a real-time example of the way God's kingdom was going to operate, even though Jesus was one that should be sitting at the table and be served by others. He's actually there serving them as leading by example. And he said, this is the way it's going to be in God's kingdom. The greatest among you are going to be the servants, and you're going to lead and teach the people by example. Okay. "But you are those who have continued with me in my trials." So this is a compliment to them. "And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom." So this is in the spiritual heavenly kingdom. and not any on earth at all, because they were going to be serving the people, and he was letting them know that they would continue in the same trials that Jesus went through, and since they would be faithful unto death to God and not forsake him, then they would be able to eat and drink after their death in the spiritual realm, and sit at the table in the kingdom with Jesus, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, and the fifth and final point here is the apostles themselves seemed anxious for the kingdom to come at this time in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, which was 10 days before the kingdom would be established. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And then Jesus is really, he just kind of skirted the answer. And he basically told them that is up to God. And that's not anything for you to worry about. The only thing that you need to do is stay in Jerusalem, and you do not leave Jerusalem until the Spirit comes with power upon you. And that's exactly what they did. And then that was Acts 2, when the kingdom was established. And then Kaufman finished up with this point, paragraph. Furthermore, they envisioned a restoration of rule to Israel. The people were full of preconceived ideas regarding the kingdom, and each one sought to hasten and enjoy its pleasures as one who impatiently seizes upon a bud and seeks with its fingers to force it to bloom. So just as somebody wants to has a bud of a flower and wants to manipulate it and kind of scrape it to force it to open ahead of when it's mature and ready to open. And that's exactly what some of these people were wanting to do. They wanted to get into God's kingdom so fast, they wanted to force the gates open before God was ready to open them. The context, now here's a statement that McGarvey, I think this is still quoting McGarvey, that I don't see it this way, this statement. The context shows that even John the Immerser was then seeking to force the kingdom open. I don't view it that way. I think Jesus's statement here that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. I see it that this was since John started teaching the people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. From that time, people were so excited that God's kingdom that had been prophesied since Samuel the prophet, and so now that's coming to fruition, and then Daniel in Daniel chapter 2:44 had prophesied about the kingdom that God would establish that would never be destroyed, and they knew they were in the right time frame because they knew of the four kingdoms that were listed. You had the Babylonian kingdom, then you had the Medo-Persian kingdom as the second kingdom, and then the third kingdom as the Greek kingdom. All three of those, Daniel listed, would be in succession, and in that order, those kingdoms. And it would be whatever kingdom that came after the Greek kingdom, those are the days in which God would establish his kingdom that would never be destroyed. And so they all knew that this was in the next kingdom right after the Greek kingdom, which was the Roman Empire. And so they knew the time was right. And now, for the first time in 400 years, God had sent them a prophet, John the Immerser, and he was telling them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So I don't see this that John was included here as trying to force the gates of the kingdom open prematurely. But it was the teaching that he had that the other people were overzealous and wanting to force it open prematurely. And then it finishes up here. It is also of interest to note that some of the Christians in the second and third century referred to this violence as the zeal men should have in striving after the kingdom. Now, these words are from Kaufman, and And this is a reference to what the computer called the positive view of this passage. And so Kaufman affirms here that the Christians in the second and third century had written that they took this as a positive view, and that we'd previously covered. And they understood this passage in a favorable sense. But without doubt, Kaufman concludes here, McGarvey's explanation of this passage appears safer and more perceptive of the Messiah's true meaning. So Kaufman, even though he admitted that that the Christians in the second and third century took a positive view of this Matthew 11 verse 12, that the that he thinks that McGarvey's is actually the negative aspect of the positive view is the safer and more perceptive view to understand the Messiah's true meaning. So we will end there.